So there were some consequences. Let's have a look briefly at some other areas. The Nile Valley, the cradle of ancient Egypt, which we talk about a lot later in the course. Along the Nile Valley, rising sea levels after the Ice Age created a lush environment for hunter-gatherers along the Nile floodplain, because when you lift the river, which had a steep gradient, obviously has to adjust. The result is flooding and the creation of a floodplain. These hunter-gatherers exploited both plants and fish very extensively. A few sites have been found. But unfortunately, thousands of years of Nile floods have buried most of these settlements under fine river silt. As you know, each year the Nile flooded and the rivers rose and the waters spread over the floodplain, depositing fine silt and refertilizing the land. At the same time, the silt accumulates, burying ancient sites way under the alluvium. Generations of scholars have argued that agriculture was introduced to the Nile from Southwest Asia somewhere around 8,000 BC. But by the same token, it's entirely possible that it began independently there. We don't know. One thing we do know is that drought was intensifying in the Sahara during this time. And during the Younger Dryas, when the Sahara got drier, they may have responded to a shortage of food by domesticating plants and animals on the edges of the Nile Valley as a safety net which protected them against an unpredictable environment. The truth is, we do not know when agriculture began in Egypt, but as we will see, village agriculture was the foundation of ancient Egypt. The earliest farming villages actually known from the Nile date to about 4300 BC, by which time villages of a considerable size were flourishing along the river and in the Nile Delta. These were the communities that were the ultimate foundation of ancient Egypt, which became a unified state in 3100 BC. Farming also began early in what is now Turkey, with agriculture, domesticated animals, and an obsidian trade well established by 9500 BC at sites like Halan Semitipisi in eastern Turkey. By 7000 BC, and the record is much better here than the Nile, well-established large farming villages existed in central Turkey on what is known as the Anatolian Plateau. The Hasilar village was one settlement first occupied in about 8000 BC, a community of small roundhouses, each with their own ovens. But the most complex settlement of these was a village, sometimes called a town, called Katalhuyuk, also on the Anatolian plain. At its height, this large village, which is being excavated by an international team, covered 32 acres. It was a tightly packed community of flat-topped, sun-dried brick houses, with the outer walls of the houses serving as a defense wall. The village was rebuilt at least 12 times after 7000 BC, and is remarkable that some of the rooms of these houses served as shrines, with sculpted ox heads, wall paintings which depict vultures and the dead and ancestors, and relief models of bulls and rams. A rich community. Why was it rich? It came from its control of the local obsidian trade, mined from quarries in the nearby mountains. Obsidian, interconnectedness, much more complex agricultural economies which were beginning to flourish over so much of Southwest Asia by 6000 BC. In this lecture, we've looked at some of the theories surrounding the origins of agriculture, and we've examined something of the consequences of agriculture, to which we will return again and again. There was no one cause of the changeover. There were many different consequences, many of them which appeared long after agriculture came. Higher populations, denser settlements, more permanent settlements, new technologies, and major changes in social and ritual life. And from there we established that agriculture was well established in the Nile by 4000 BC and Turkey by 6000, and we're now ready in the next lecture to explore agriculture in Europe.